So yeah, what else you been up to? What have you been up to today?
No, nothing at all.
Did you have lunch?
I had a bread roll and a Lion bar. And oh, I had one of those.
In it?
Do you know them weird pasta meals where you sort of like stir in milk, you heat milk up in a pan and then just dunk this?
Yeah, I love them. Was it a bachelor's one?
It was, yeah, bachelor's, yeah.
Was it the cheese and broccoli one?
It was the cheese and broccoli one. Were you
oh,
here?
Oh, it's my favourite one. Yeah. It's my one. Do you know, but I'm so glad you brought this up, right? Because I've been thinking about this meal for ages, right? So listen, you know the instructions say that you're supposed to put, is 150 millilitres of water.
Yeah.
And 100 millilitres of milk.
Yeah.
Right? That's not true.
And a knob of butter. I don't know how big
but
yeah. I don't know how big a knob is, but...
Well, it depends how big your knob is.
Yeah, well, they leave that to your own discretion, how big the knob of butter is.
You're just like, oh, put just a below average amount of butter in.
I'll just put a micro penis of butter into my...
But listen, I might write them a letter, right? Because I've never been so infuriated by how wrong their instructions are.
You're such a fucking nerd, you know that.
But listen, this has taken me years to perfect this. It's 100 millilitres. You put 100 millilitres of water in.
Yeah.
And then you put... I wouldn't say you need even 100 millilitres of milk. You need just a dash of milk, right? A little bit of milk.
Why can't you go and full... Why can't you go all milk?
Because if there's too much liquid in it, then it becomes... It's too liquidy. It's not supposed to be liquidy.
Yeah, mine was made it too before. Liquidy. And I did...
Aha! There you go. Ha ha ha! I'm not telling lies. This is trial and error here, and also there's more to this, right? There's if you really want to improve it and make it like really good, what you do is you got to sprinkle salt in it. Obviously, you've got to put pepper in it. That improves it. Also, just a little bit. Just have a little bit of your own grated cheese to put in it. It thickens it up. Yeah. And it gives it like a malty cheese. Like, again, remember we were talking about four cheeses last time? This is like, oh no, we weren't, that wasn't the podcast, that was a phone call. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
That's a Patreon episode.
Patreon. Join the Patreon for Bachelor's sad meal talk. But yeah, so do that. Do all those things and it'll be better. Also,
it's a very lonely meal, isn't it? Because it only comes...
Well, I mean,
in...
they call it Bachelor's, for God's sake. Have you never noticed that before?
No, I've never even considered that. That's amazing.
Yeah, they call it like lonely meals.
Divorcees pasta.
Yeah, the other thing that you need to do with it is you stop boiling it when it's kind of like al dente, you know, it's not quite cooked, but you stop, you turn off the boil and you leave it on the hob and maybe cover it
and let it reduce
and give it another few minutes. Yeah, I know you're a chef legally, but I don't think that really counts for like meals like this. I think for meals like this you need to take my expert opinion, like for scummy sort of like tragic meals you need to listen to me because I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. I had
Did you have anything with it?
No, mate. I didn't even season it or nothing. I just fucking slapped it in a pan. Oh. Did it for the exact time, didn't let it reduce. It was all wet and weird.
But listen, you are my colleague in terms of you like a pasta sandwich, right?
Oh, I fucking love a lasanwich, mate.
Well, try that in a sandwich.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, well, it's pasta, isn't it? It's going to be fucking banging.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you, it is. It'll blow your mind.
I had this conversation the other day. Welcome back to the Pasta Podcast, by the way.
That's a great idea. We should do that.
Yeah. The Al Dente Podcast.
There's got to be a better name than that.
There's got to be. But past cast. No, that's terrible.
Past cast. I like that, actually.
Past?
Pod past. Yes. Oh my God, pod past. Make pod past happen.
Make pod past great again.
Shall we actually do a spin off called Pod Past? Yeah. That'd be really fun.
A spin off of what?
Of this.
Completely unrelated. We've got the two lead characters, it's fine, they're just eating pasta. Should we eat pasta on the podcast?
I think they ate pasta once on Big Brother, didn't they?
Oh yeah, I mean, why not? They must have eaten loads of pasta.
Speaking of Big Brother, shall we get started?
Welcome to episode 9 of the Who Is She podcast.
Who is she? Who is she?
Do you know the little improv story you painted at the end of the last episode?
Yes, I do.
I haven't been able to stop thinking about it. I think we should make it into a film. Nikki Graham.
What, the sweet shop thing?
Yeah, like that film Prevenge. I think we should do a Nikki Graham style film.
Well, I would like to see Nikki Graham more on TV and stuff. I would like to see her doing dramatic roles. She could definitely do dramatic roles really well, don't you think?
Yeah, imagine all of the... I think she should replace Jennifer Aniston in all those divorce films.
I think, what divorce films are you talking about?
Like the breakup.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Is there another one?
Breakup 2.
Is there a breakup 2?
Yeah, broken up again. This time it's personal. But it's kind of relevant. In this episode, they've had to make a play, write a play.
I mean, yeah, kind of. I mean, they didn't really do any of it yet. It's kind of like it's a teaser for next episode, really. You haven't seen the play.
But they did discuss what they might do in the play.
They did. We'll get to that, won't we?
I think it was Nick. It was like, what should be the theme? And then Darren was like, I think the theme should be, it should be good. That's not a theme, Darren. Do you know what I mean? It should just not be shit. That's a good theme.
But that's the kind of thing that comedians say, isn't it? It's like, you know, they say things like, you know, just as long as you're funny, like, that's all that matters. Or don't be shit. That's it. Like, that's the kind of outlook. So maybe Darren's just a jaded comic. Thing about Darren is, right, I feel bad, right, because I thought Darren was dumb. Like, I'll be honest. I like him. I find him endearing. I think he's funny. But I thought he didn't have any brains.
What's made you change your mind?
What made me change my mind is, in this episode, he completely sees Nick for what he is. He's got the guts to tell Nick
that.
Yeah,
I fucking
Nick
love
was trying
that
to, like,
because Nick just because Nick is a fucking, he is like the worst.
He's a pussy hole.
And because he voted out Cags, right? He's put Cags up for adoption or whatever, eviction,
yeah.
Ejection. And then he was just outside just being like, oh, Caroline, I thought you were going to go all the way and like win it or whatever. And I'm like, shut up, Nick.
He always does that. He always approaches the person that he like votes out. It's like he's returning to the scene of the crime, you know, like he can't help himself. He has to go and give them a little pep talk. So basically, if you ever get approached by Nick and he like says something nice to you, you know that he's like fucked you up in some way. But Darren was like, Darren was just like, because he was doing that thing to him where he was trying to interrogate.
Inquisitate.
What the fuck? The Grand Inquisitor. I think there is some kind of word. Inquisition. Anyway,
yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah, so I'm sure. Is inquisitate not a word?
I mean, if you keep saying it, it'll become a word.
It sounds right to me.
No, it's right.
Anyway, so he was doing that. He was trying to get info from Darren about what sounded like some kind of like sex thing, right? He wanted to know like who Darren's been sleeping with, and Darren was like, "Good sir, do not besmirch."
What's going
besmirch,
on?
besmirch. Do not besmirch my honor. Is that a word, honor? I don't know.
Why have you just lost all? You've like lost all confidence in your larynx and that. You're like, not today.
No, I've lost cognitive abilities, I think, over the past couple of days. But yeah, like it was impressive to see Darren really sort of like stand up for himself and.
Yeah, he was just like, if I've got a story to tell you, I'll tell you on my own free will. I don't need you to inquisitate it out of me.
Yeah. And he was also a bit like, he did kind of come across as like, I know what you're playing at. He said it in a nice kind of like, he kind of reeled it back at the end, you know, when you feel like, have you ever done that when you've been either telling somebody off or being told off and it's quite stern, and then like at the end you kind of just like bring it back to a jokey place or whatever? That's kind of what he did. He kind of lightened it because he was like, oh, I know I've still got to live in here with you. But you could tell he was pissed off. You could tell he was like, I know what you're up to, you know. It's obvious. It's just, like, I can't believe it's not obvious to more of them.
Well, I don't know. It's just, we're still looking at hindsight. Now, I've written this down. I said everything that Nick does is like just super sinister. It's like
he didn't get one vote.
I know. It's so weird, isn't it? But like, he was doing like laundry in a bucket outside, and he was singing that.
He was singing "I'm in the mood for dancing," but he didn't know the lyrics at all. It was like "I'm in the mood for dancing," and then like.
And something.
Prancing.
Prancing.
We're taking the bus to work.
But he was doing it really slowly, like, do you know when they like sometimes you can listen to songs like really madly slowed down and it sounds
no, it was like a, it was like a little girl in a horror film. I was like,
yeah.
La, 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 I'm in the mood for dancing.
In the background they just got one of those little music boxes playing. It's like ding ding.
I'm gonna get you. I hate that shit. Like, I think, like, you should know what? I don't understand. Like, I think that comes from like American horror, doesn't it? Like, not to keep like ragging on the Americans, but there's something about American horror movies that to me is just so cack. Like, in terms of what Americans are scared of, I don't understand why they're scared of it. Like,
little
it seems
girl
to
ghosts.
Little girls. They're scared of little girls for some reason. They're scared of clowns for some reason, and they're scared of like
exercise.
That's it, really. That's a, I like your hot take on Americans. That's like so. That's a joke from like 1994. Like, Americans be so fat.
What's the deal with? But yeah, but I mean, little girl, like, kids are scary. Like, I remember, like,
they're not.
When I was little, I got a sister who's like 6 years younger than me. So when she was like six and I was like 12, that is fast maths, by the way. I just remember being like that. Sometimes I have a nightmare where she would come like stab me up in my sleep, and I was a bit like, oh, a bit worried, because kids are unpredictable, aren't they? They don't know necessarily that murdering your family is wrong and that sort of thing, do they?
What are you on about? They're kids. Like, you get an occasional kid who goes like doolally when like kills their family.
But oh my god, how doolally of him! He's had a bit of a rough afternoon, and he's sort of killed his whole family.
I'm bringing back doolally. I think it should be like a medical term. We rule that you are psychologically doolally.
He's just a bit doolally, isn't he? He's killed everyone on the whole street. You know, that's just his way.
But that's the thing, is like, kids aren't scary. And
them two kids out of The Shining? They're fucking scary.
They're not even scary, those kids. They're like the least scary part of that film.
Nah.
They're relief from the horror.
You're like, ah, children, nice.
You're driving your little tricycle around the hallways.
Scary tricycle.
Nah, that tricycle looks cumbersome. And then
three
you go
wheel,
around. And
three
then...
wheels is scarier than four wheels, for sure. It gets scarier that unicycles are the most scary.
That's the thing about America as well. Like, they have, like, tricycles are a lot more normalised there. We don't really have tricycles, do we?
Do they?
They have, that's all they have is tricycles.
Do you know what we have now that I've just seen everywhere?
What?
Those, like, I don't know, you have, maybe it's just a Brighton thing, so you have to tell me. Are people just going around on, like, scooters that have, like, little electric scooters everywhere? Everyone's got one?
Yes.
It's mad. Who decided that?
I really don't know. These are like, I feel like, life to me now just feels like a series of trends, you know, like there's like a year or so of, hold on.
There's one of them right now.
There's like that you get like a year and a half or so of like a trend that comes in, whether it be like, you know, there's like wheelie things that people are buying where you like stand on it and it like propels you around like an automaton.
They're like hoverboards.
Yeah, but they didn't hover, they just had wheels.
Yeah, but they were called hoverboards though.
Yeah. Yeah, those things. And then there was like fidget spinners and like
fidget spinners are still cool to me. I still have one.
I've never owned one. I'm proud of that. But anyway, yeah, so these things are just a trend. In like a couple of years there'll be something else, I reckon.
The trouble is trends are so expensive now. Like, them scooters must be like 400 quid.
I think they're more than that sometimes.
Yeah, but I mean, everyone's got them. So, like...
Like, don't get me wrong, when I saw it, like, they do look kind of fun, because the thing is, like...
No.
Well, listen, they can get you around quicker, and you don't need, like, a license for them or anything, but the people that have them generally are people who need to get somewhere quickly. but the thing is that, like, if I had one, it would stop me from walking, and I think, like, walking is, like, the only exercise I get, so I think it'd be really bad to eliminate that as well, you know?
Yeah, I 100% agree. I just think they're for dorks. I think everyone's a dork now.
They are a bit dorky. They're not as dorky as an actual scooter, though, like one you have to push. There's nothing more embarrassing than seeing, like, a grown man, like, pushing a scooter around.
What about a grown man who's only just started skateboarding?
That's cool.
Good.
That's cool. That's, you know.
Right, good answer.
Yeah. It depends how sick they are.
Yeah, I was watching a home video the other day, and I caught myself saying something was dope on it. I think it was a cave.
Oh no.
I was like, this cave is dope.
Dope's a bad, dope's a rubbish word.
It is. I knew this was going to be a good episode of Big Brother, by the way, because, you know, at the start they tell you what's going to come up, they have a little caption.
Mm-hmm.
We just said, tonight, cavorting. And I was like, oh god, this is going to be a fucking good one.
There was a little bit of cavorting going on.
Yeah, and it all came from fucking creepy as fuck Andy, Handsy Andy.
Yeah, we need to, I feel like we need to rename Andy. Yeah, Handy Andy's a great name for him, or Handsy Andy.
Handsy Andy.
Yeah, he's Handsy Andy now.
Look, he was sat on the couch with Nick at the start of the episode, and he was literally just blatantly just like, Nick, I just have to fuck. I just have to. Like,
yeah, yeah.
That's all I'm thinking about day and night. And I just need to.
Well, he's all over Mel. Like, literally all over her. Like,
yeah, but she's like, she wants him to be.
She is all over him too. But this is the thing. It's like this awkward thing. And like, I feel like she doesn't really want him. That's my interpretation of it. And I feel...
She likes the attention, maybe.
Yeah, and I feel like I think we need to rename him. I know he's been Handsy Andy for only a couple of minutes.
Less than a minute.
But I think he needs to be renamed to Incel Andy for now.
Incel? Well, no, because he wants to fuck. Incels do want to fuck, but they just can't. Is that right?
Well, yeah. That's what he is.
But then they go so far the other way that, like, they want to fuck so much that they could never fuck.
Yeah, that's what he is. he's so desperate, he can't get it.
You think he's cock-blocking himself?
He's cock-blocking himself totally, yeah.
Is there a place where they can sort of masturbate in the house without any cameras?
In the chicken coop.
No one's advocating that. You can't. Is that animal cruelty? Subjecting chickens to that?
Well, no, they wouldn't be in there.
Well, then you'll be able to all. You always know what's going on. You'll be like, the chickens are out again. Someone's in there.
Yeah, and he's in the chicken coop.
In the little white shed.
Whacking off.
Because that's what he needs. He needs a cold shower or something, man. He just needs.
He needs a nice middle class couple to pick him up and show him a good time. Like,
just now realizing that every single episode, Andy has been all about just fucking shagging, isn't he? It's all he talks about.
He's the Hugh Hefner of the house.
Yeah, and then you expect, and then you're like, oh, we're gonna try and maybe if we win this challenge, we get to pick a film to watch, and you're like, oh, what's it gonna be? Some like Caligula. Or like something like that, and he's just like Happy Gilmore, and I'm like, he makes such. And yeah. Then didn't he suggest like Scare Electrics before? Like, he makes such basic choices, and then he's just like an animal in the sheets.
Well, we don't know if he is an animal in the sheets or not yet. We don't.
He probably just cries. He's just a crier, isn't he? He's got to be. Like, if he finally makes it with Mel, he's gonna start crying before, during, and afterwards.
He probably gets women to call him Happy Gilmore in the bedroom, and he and he does the Adam Sandler voice while they have sex. Shabububu! I don't know what that was. That's what he does. He goes like,
"You eat like, pieces of shit for breakfast." That's the only bit I can remember.
That's a Kanye West lyric.
Is it?
Yeah, in Jesus Walks. Have you heard Jesus Walks?
Yeah, I know the song. I know the lyric though. But yeah, that's the line from Adam Sandler from Happy Gilmore. I nearly called it Adam Sandler film instead of the actual name. That's what he's going to start doing, isn't it, Adam Sandler? He's just starting to go, Adam Sandler film 1. Adam Sandler film 2.
That is essentially what he does. You know, all his films are pretty much the same. Like, they're all about, like, an angry man who uses his angriness to be positive, you know. Like, Adam Sandler angrily wins golf. Adam Sandler angrily wins American football. Adam Sandler angrily raises a child.
Imagine angrily raising a child, but just non-stop, just, oh, fuck's sake, just forever.
Yeah. There's more examples of that. Like, even his classier films, like Punch Drunk Love. Did we watch that?
No, I haven't seen it. I have seen him angrily sell diamonds, though.
Yeah, he did angrily sell diamonds recently, didn't he?
Wasn't he in The Cobbler as well, just angrily making shoes and that?
Yeah. He's always got, like, he's someone who's trying to get by, but he's got, like, a repressed anger, hasn't he, which comes out. And then Little Nicky isn't, to be fair, that's not that angry, that one, where he plays the son of the devil.
Yeah. The only one where you actually expect him to be angry and he's not even, he's just fine with it. That's because he's more at home next to Satan, I think.
Yeah. Should have got Rob Schneider to play Satan in that film.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I've been petitioning to have Rob Schneider play everyone in every film for about 5 years now.
Did you see that Rob Schneider had a new stand-up special released on Netflix recently?
No, but I heard someone promoting it on a podcast.
I watched 10 minutes of it.
Was it good?
No, what are you on about?
Can you tell me one of the bits?
I can't remember. It was like
has he got ridiculous hair?
I think he's losing his hair. He was like, I think if I remember rightly, when he comes out, he goes, you can do it. I think he does. Like, I'm not joking.
No, come on.
No, I'm not joking. I think I remember him.
Just
yeah.
Opens. Yeah. That's like when you see a band and they come out and they play like their biggest song first of all, and you're like, well, this kid can only go downhill from here.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Unless it's Radiohead.
I think he should have closed on it, and then it should have been like pyrotechnics and stuff after he said it, and then maybe it can come up in big flashing like neon like sign behind him, like it would flash up.
Maybe he's giving himself a pep talk when he goes out there, like, you know, like, come on, Rob, you can do it. You can be funny. Maybe it'll happen once.
Every time he wakes up. He is Rob Schneider. Like, imagine, that's mental, isn't it?
It's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy.
It's mad. Imagine if you woke up tomorrow and you were Rob Schneider. You'd have to live at least one day in the life of Rob Schneider.
Are you presenting a film idea which is basically
a Rob Schneider film?
Well, you know, like, didn't he have that film called The Hot Chick? Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah, there's a film called, I think it's called The Hot Chick, where he falls in love with this, it's basically Freaky Friday, but he basically turns into this, like, yeah, it does it like a hot chick. They swap places, and so she has like his body.
She really got the raw end of that deal, didn't she?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But that's kind of what the. Oh, wait, there was another one, wasn't there? Wasn't there a film? I've just had a memory of a Rob Schneider film. Was it called The Animal? The Animal. Do you remember The Animal? I remember once when my mum and dad went out, and I was babysitting my sister. And sometimes when that happened, we would be able to convince my parents to let us rent a film off of...
Blockbuster.
No, it was off the TV, but I can't remember how we would do it. It was... Like, I remember we had to plug the phone line in.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Listen to it down the handset.
Yeah. It was like audio described movie.
Rob Schneider walks into the office.
Rob Schneider says, "You can do it." and anyway, this film was called The Animal, and it's about, I think he's a vet or something.
That turns into an animal?
Well, yeah, he does.
<He's> Oh, like... my God. It literally is every one of his films, isn't it?
Yeah. And he's like running around like sniffing people, and like he's like going, argh. Like, that's all I can remember. I think if I remember the front cover, it's like him in his like park ranger outfit or whatever, or his vet outfit, and he's like got like some feathers in his mouth or something. Hold on, I just have to... I'm sorry, I just... It's been... I've not seen this film for about 15 years. I just have to look it up quickly.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, it's bad. But I remember really liking it at the time. The Animal... Yes, it's real. Okay, let's have a look. Wow, do you know what? My memory is so good when it comes to, like, things like this, like, inconsequential rubbish. Like, but my memory's so bad when it comes to important things. But on the front cover of this, he is... he's peering through some leaves. He's got red feather in his mouth. Can't believe that I got that. That's crazy. Oh, no, I'm just going to send you the...
Did you say that before?
Yeah, I said he had red feathers in his mouth. I'll just send you the image. I was wrong about...
I bet you watched this film last week.
I absolutely did not.
I think I've seen that. I think I remember that cover. He wasn't much of a man. Now he's not much of an animal. I think they should put that on Rob Schneider's gravestone.
Wasn't much of a man, not much of a corpse.
He died doing what he loved. Nothing. He wasn't much of a man. No, he's not much of an animal.
Oh, I feel bad for Rob Schneider now.
Yeah. Does he trade places with Animal from the Muppets?
That'd be wicked. Oh, do you know what? We need a new Muppets film, don't we?
Yeah, well, this one, Rob Schneider in Animal, is Animal.
Let me see if Rob Schneider's ever met the Muppets. I'm sure that, because, you know, when the Muppets went on a bit, they would have anyone on it. The Muppets.
It's such a damning... Sorry, Rob, if you are listening to this. I mean, you're very successful. You can't argue with the mad success you've had for sort of not really doing anything good.
Rob Schneider was in Muppets from Space.
Was he?
Yeah.
Wow.
He played Martin. Do you remember the Rob Schneider film Juice Bigelow and Male Gigolo?
Yes.
Yeah, that one was okay, I think, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, bad, but okay for Rob Schneider.
European Gigolo, was it? Or was that the name?
I never saw that one.
That might be Rob Schneider all over, by the way. Just Juice Bigelow.
Juice, yeah.
Yeah, that's not anyone's name. And it just rhymes with... You must have been like, Gigolo, Gigolo, Bigelow. I'm Rob Schneider. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what? That's never occurred to me before how shit that is. As a title. So I've always just been, yeah, like, it does rhyme. That's pretty, that's useful.
That's clever, isn't it? Is it?
But Bigelow is a real surname, though.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Who's called that?
There's a director. There's a female director called Karen Bigelow, is it?
Janice Bigelow.
Let me have a look.
Sarah Bigelow.
Is it Karen Bigelow? Oh my god, it is Karen Bigelow. My memory's on fire today. Yeah, she directed like The Hurt Locker and Zero Dark Thirty and Point Break in 1991.
I don't know, you expect it to be directed by like a war man like Andy McNab.
Well, so this is the thing about her, is that she's destroying your preconceptions and your prejudices. Because she loves war. she loves killing. No, I don't know. She's married to James Cameron. You know James Cameron?
Yeah, of course I know James Cameron, yeah.
The Avatar man.
Yeah, he makes like one film every 10 years and gets like £10,000,000 for it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He made Titanic. Don't know if you heard of that one.
Yeah, 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 I know it. Based on a true story.
So listen, why was there a stripper pole in the Big Brother house?
That was literally the next point on my list as well. I think that that's the item that Nick bought from home.
Do you? They just got around to putting it up.
Yeah.
Because you can buy those stripper poles, can't you? They're almost like they're like shower poles. You know, like have you ever tried to? Because in my old bathroom, we had like a shower curtain, and not to brag or anything, but it fell down. And you had to put it back up, and it has like a spring in it. You have to like push it down, and it goes up against the wall, and with the little suckers on the side. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, your shower curtain fell down. It's, by the way, as stories go, gripping. So
yeah, well, it's getting somewhere. Like, basically, all I'm saying is, I think it's the same mechanism. Oh, I dropped my microphone.
Man, you are wild today.
I'm wild. I told you, I'm on a double dose of sertraline. It makes me a different person.
It really does.
It actually does. That's the crazy thing.
After this, you're going to order one of those electric scooters and just fucking be buzzing around.
I'm going to order a tricycle, electric tricycle. Actually, do you know what? No, I'm going to order one. You know something that they have.
You have to finish this thing about the shower curtain.
I'll get back to it, but listen.
You can't just tell me that, one time my shower curtain fell down and I had to put it back up. There has to be more to that story.
Well, no, actually, that is all there is to that particular story.
What are you doing to me? That is bad. That is terrible storytelling, you know what I mean?
But the reason I was telling it is what I was going to say is because it was so difficult to put up. Like, every time I kept putting it up, it keep falling back down, right? And these stripper poles, they're like the same mechanism, right? So like, it's kind of like a spring in them, and like, you can, and they like connect to the ceiling and then to the floor. And I just want to know like what kind of springs they're using, because my shower curtain wouldn't stay up, but this stripper pole like has like a person swinging from it and it doesn't go anywhere. So tell me that.
I don't know.
Anyway, I once saw
I was briefly seeing a girl who had a stripper pole in her bedroom.
Really? Are you sure she wasn't a fireman?
Yeah. She was. She constantly had to keep leaving the house like all night, like I don't know. Like this alarm kept going off and she just kept springing out of the window like that.
And you're like, oh, she must be a stripper.
Yeah, she kept posing for calendars and stuff. It's really weird.
You never see a female fireman's calendar, do you?
You probably do.
Oh, well, I guess I'm not really the right demographic. I guess I haven't been looking for one.
Who is the demographic for that? Fires.
Fires. Yeah. I don't think fires get turned on by fire people. No, by
maybe they do. It's like masochistic, isn't it?
You know, firemen and firewomen, women's. They they like live
The fire, the fire people.
The fire people. They like live there, don't they? Like when they're on there, they like live in the fire. It's a firehouse, and they live in it just in case. Yeah.
Good people.
What happens when a fire station burns down, though? Eh? What do you do then?
They put it out really quickly. They got all the stuff.
Oh yeah, I guess so.
Plus, it's all made out of like metal poles and that, so it's not really burns. It doesn't really burn.
It's like when people say like, "Oh, what happens when an ambulance runs somebody over?" I mean, that happened recently, didn't it? I tell you what happens. People lose their job.
People go to prison, yeah.
Yeah, and also there's a lot of grief, basically, around this whole situation.
Yeah, and to be honest, on slow days, I wouldn't put it past them to mow a couple of people down.
Who?
The ambulance drivers. They've got quotas, haven't they? They've got quotas to meet.
I think the most dangerous thing about ambulances is the noise of them. Like, have you ever had one pass you like direct, like on your side of the road? It like kills your ear, like just kills it.
No, the most dangerous thing about them is when someone who doesn't know what they're doing gets their hands on the defibrillator at the back.
Well, the thing about the defibrillator is you can get them anywhere nowadays. We've got defibrillators at the train station. Why are they at the train station?
Just in case someone has someone, you know, train spotters. They get pretty
get too excited.
Then they need a bit of defibrillating on a Sunday.
But do you know what I mean? Like, why are they there over other places, you know? Because you don't see a defibrillator. You see them sometimes in other places, but you don't see them very often. You don't see them at the bowling alley.
Maybe they put them in places where people have already had a heart attack.
What, like, statistically?
Yeah, they're like, W.H. Smith, heart attack.
Do you think you could use a defibrillator?
No, I was talking about this the other day. There's one in the town in the Yorkshire Dales near where I used to live called Reith. They have one there, and I've looked at the instructions, and I'm like, if someone's dying of a heart attack, you don't want to be reading the instructions. It should just say, step one, phone the hospital or the ambulance, dial 999, and then stop trying to do surgery on people because you're just a kid.
Not surgery, is it? It's easy. I've seen cartoons. You just kind of rub them together and then you just zap them.
Rub them together, yeah. And just zap them.
Give them a zap.
The old rub and zap.
The old rub and zap.
Yeah, that's how it used to be my Tinder profile.
Did you ever watch Zap? Do you remember Zap?
I love
Zap. Did you love Zap? I used to love Zap too.
They sort of made me feel a bit sick.
It's because do you know why that is? It's because it's this, like, silent film. It's like, you know, there's something a bit off about it. And I figured out when I'm older what
it's like, over the top, like physicality, and it's like, it's creepy. Like the girl with the pigtails used to freak me out.
She was the creepiest one, yeah. She was always getting up to some kind of mischief. What I've realised about Zap later on in my life is that Zap was undoubtedly like some kind of foreign program. It was like, it must have been like, I get like Dutch energy from it or something, like they must be speak or German or something, and then they've just like intentionally made it so there's no dialogue in it, so it can just go to every country in the entire world, a bit like Mr. Bean. You know how like Mr. Bean is like popular everywhere.
Do you know why Zap ended? There was a scandal surrounding those the gloved hands.
Yeah, what did they do?
There was this, I don't know, like pedos or something like that.
Oh, you were just going for some bit. I thought you were being honest. I thought there might have actually been a scandal, but you're just like, oh, they're just you know, those yellow gloves are just like pedos or whatever.
The pedo hands.
No, I tell you who would have been the pedos. Is that artist?
Now I think about it, any one of them could have been.
They all were, yeah. Do you remember, it was like it was such a confusing program, because it was like, it's a program, but then it's a comic book, and then it's like a program again.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to when Zapgate breaks.
Zapgate.
Yeah, it's going to happen. It has to happen.
I think there are other kids' TV shows that will break before that.
Yeah, what have you got? I got a list. Who's on your watch list?
Well, do you know what? He was never particularly on my watch list, but everyone seems to think Mr. Tumble.
I don't know. It's too. I like Mr. Tumble. You know, I've watched a lot of Mr. Tumble. I've had young kids. Do you know what I mean?
I like Mr. Tumble as well.
There was a period of time, right, where he had the children's TV on lockdown. Man, he had it nailed down. He was on everything.
He had his own magazine.
He had his own magazine. He does like tour shows. He does an early show and a late show, and the late show is where he like swears and smokes.
Yeah.
And gets hammered. It's really, really like sort of racist and that.
Are you telling me that Mr. Tumble is Roy Choppy Brown? Is that what you're saying to me?
Yeah.
They do look similar, actually.
He calls himself Mr. Rumble, and then he comes out like a wrestler.
Mr. Rumble.
He's actually, no, he was. He was originally a WWF character, and then he came over to this country. He used to fight, like, The Rock and stuff like that. He's his finishing move. He used to just take all his clothes off and then just dive off the top.
No, he used to do, like, the Makaton sign for I'm going to smash your head in.
And then he just does like a couple loads of forward rolls in a row.
So do you know what I really enjoyed about this episode? Like something I really enjoyed is, you know, when Andy found out that he was up for eviction. And then because like just before he found out he was up for eviction, he was like, he was so chill because you could tell he didn't think he was going to be evicted. And they were having a conversation where...
The moment when he found out was incredible.
Well, because he was having a conversation where he was like... He literally said like, oh, you know, it doesn't matter. It's like, it doesn't, you know, what happens, happens. It doesn't matter. Don't worry if you're evicted. It's like, don't think about it. And then as soon as he got evicted, he literally turned into that guy from Full Metal Jacket. You know, at the beginning of Full Metal Jacket when like they're... it's before they go to Vietnam and they're like in the boot camp. And then there's that guy who's the one who's essentially getting bullied, and he goes like postal, like he just spends loads of time on his own. He's heavily breathing in the room alone, like looking over people while they sleep and stuff. And then,
that was Andy as well,
yeah.
Wasn't it? Because like, he just went and stood in the bedroom in the dark.
Exactly. and then in Full Metal Jacket ends with him shooting himself in the mouth in the toilets. And I hope that doesn't happen to Andy, obviously, but that's the energy that he's giving off right now.
Yeah, and he's just so bothered by not knowing who voted for him.
Yeah, he's got no chill.
If he gets voted out, I'd love it if, as he was walking up the stairs to leave, Mel was just like, by the way, I voted for you to leave.
That would have been the absolute twist. I would have loved that. It would have been so Machiavellian, so and so like it would have been very Nick-like. Actually, I'm surprised that that's not Nick's approach, is to like seduce Andy. And then...
Well, because he kept confiding in Nick. He was like, just Nick, I'm down to fuck. I'll fuck anyone that moves. And Nick's like, well, I move.
You've already said you're bisexual, like I'm yeah. here. The thing is, I think you're right about Mel. Like, I don't think she's leading him on because I don't think she's, like, intentionally doing that. I just think that, like, she possibly doesn't want to have a relationship in the house. I think maybe, like, they do like each other. You can tell Andy is very confused. And you can tell...
It would take a lot to have sex on TV, I think. Like, it's not normal. Like, it's, like, that's...
But it happened. It has happened, hasn't it?
Yeah, but I feel like... You've got to remember, this is the first season of Big Brother. Like, no one's ever been in this situation before. Like, I think that... I don't know. I just don't know if I would. I'd be like, well, there's some things that, you know, you don't have to do on TV. Do you know what I mean?
But this is a groundbreaking show. This is breaking taboos, you know?
Would you have done it straight away? So it's day one.
I mean... Not in that house.
Yeah, and there's not... they haven't really... It's like... It's quite obvious that Andy chose Mel, I think, because who else is he going to choose? There's, like, Caggy, the embarrassing mum. Like, Fleabag's gay. Nicola's, like, a fucking lunatic, like, fucking Flintstone. Sada's gone. But, you know, I'm surprised more people aren't sort of... trying to chat Mel up, and like this sort of everyone's maybe it's like they've put paired off and the rest of the house are like, oh well, Andy and Mel are clearly getting together.
I mean, they do look like they're getting together, don't they? I mean, they're definitely courting,
they're cavorting,
they're all over each other. Like, they're literally all over each other.
Yeah,
do you know what it is? I think it's just Andy. Like, again, this comes back to him being an incel. I think he just needs to stop being all over her, and he just needs to just say it. He needs to say, like, will you go out with me? As lame as that sounds. Or, like, do you, you know, they need to be on the same page. Because he's being a little incel pussyhole.
I think he looks like a tennis player.
No, I think Nick looks like a tennis player, don't you think?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, you can imagine it, like, him playing tennis. Or, no, squash.
Yeah, snakes don't have arms, though, do they? Be hard for them to play tennis.
Yeah, that's true. I was talking to someone the other day about snakes. It was really embarrassing, right? Because I was like,
you didn't know what snakes were?
No, I did know what snakes were, but I was saying about snakes. I was like, yeah, you know snakes, right? I was like, you know, they used to have arms and legs, right? And they were like, what? And I was like, yeah, like back in the past, like millions of years ago. I was like, well, like a long time ago, I was like, they used to have arms and legs, but they like,
and jobs away. And business suits and.
But then I stopped right, and I went, wait, and oh, that's a Bible story.
Yeah, because that's what God was like. Yo, stop giving away my apples. I'm taking your arms and legs, and you're gonna have to crawl around on your belly.
I mean, a snake doesn't even really have a belly, does it? Like, it's all belly. But the thing is, I was conflating, like, the idea. But I think I am still kind of maybe right, in a way. I think, like, isn't there some... There must be some kind of snake that, through evolution, used to have legs and then evolved to not need them anymore or something. I don't know.
I guess so. I mean, we grew legs, didn't we?
Do you think that... If that's true, though, do you think that would happen with sausage dogs, eventually?
What, they just... they just lose their legs.
Like, we're going to breed them so long that they're just going to, like, they're either going to grow more legs, like, they're going to go the way of the millipede, or they're going to grow less legs and go the way of the snake, like little dog snake.
Well, they're definitely going to get longer.
They're a dog that is too long. I'm sorry. Like, when I see them, they're cute, but they are ridiculous.
Dude, your dog's too long.
Yeah. Yeah. Rein it in. Rein that dog in.
Wind your dog in.
Roll that dog up.
I will never tire of hearing Irish people say Fillum.
Fillum. Fillum. Yeah, Fillum.
Fillum. And Tiddly. Tiddly Fillum. Gotta go watch a Tiddly film. Fillum.
I mean, yeah, it's nice.
There has to be an Irish person in Big Brother House all the way up until the end.
Yeah, you do have to have Irish people in there.
Yeah, so good. I would love to have an Irish accent. I used to have a bit of one. I used to have a bit of a Northern Irish accent because I lived there for 3 years. And when I moved there, my dad was like, you're going to want to try and pick up a bit of the accent because otherwise you're going to get bricked and kneecapped.
Is that really what it's like?
No, it's not like that at all. But he was just like, you know, you want to sort of try and assimilate as best as possible. Just don't draw attention to yourself. You're in English. little prick.
Why were you there?
Oh, we just went there on holiday and it was just so...
What, for 3 years?
No, I'm joking. My dad was in the forces, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Should I tell you about the Troubles? Do you know about them?
I've heard of about some.
Listen to the Joshua Tree and then get back to me.
I'm not listening to that. I'm not a big U2 fan.
No. Well, they used to be good, didn't they?
No.
Bullet in the Blue Sky, all that sort of stuff. Good. Good track. Bono used to be cool. And now he's like, every time I clap my hands, a child in Africa dies.
Why did you put a hard R on the end of Africa? You went Africa.
Africa.
Sound like Captain Birdseye.
Africa.
Africa.
We're sailing to Africa.
Have you seen Captain Birdseye recently?
No, the reason why they stopped making Birdseye has been a scandal about Captain Birdseye.
This is your bit for the day. Everyone says that about Captain Birdseye, though, don't they?
Of course they do. But the thing is, he hasn't got any backstory or any history because he's not a real thing. People seem to think that Captain Birdseye, after the adverts, is a captain. He's captain of the fish fingers. What? That's not a thing. Shut the fuck up.
Like, also, if you're the captain, right? If you're a captain, you have no. You've got no input in the quality of the fish, have you? You're literally your job is to sail the boat.
Steer the fish fingers boat.
Yeah, it's the fishermen that you really want to be taking it up with.
Exactly. People are like, oh yeah, Captain Birdseye, definite pedo. But I'm like, that's just a man wearing a fishing hat.
I think all sort of like corporate mascots are a bit dodgy though, aren't they? They're all
Ronald McDonald, yeah, but the people are like, that guy's definitely a wrong'un, but I'm like, he's just been drawn. He's a picture. He's not even a real person.
No, he is a real person.
What do you mean he's a real person?
Well, he's not a real person, but there are real ones of him. Like people dressed up.
But I mean, they've got a member of law enforcement in their little gang. You know, they're probably fine.
Have you seen the original Ronald McDonald before?
I haven't seen the original Ronald McDonald. I heard that they stopped drawing him like that because there was a scandal.
What was the scandal?
No, I haven't. Is he scary looking? You said you said that that's why Americans are scared of clowns, like you were saying before, because they've been... had Ronald McDonald forced on him all their life.
I've just sent you a picture of the original Ronald McDonald, his first appearance.
Oh my God! He looks a bit like Sean McLaughlin.
No, he does not.
He does! Imagine if he wasn't wearing that cup as a nose and he didn't have that.
That is absurd.
No, he's got Sean McLaughlin face.
What does he have on his head?
That is a box. It looks like a Bassett suite.
Oh, it does look like a Bassett suite.
Is this what you had to dress like when you went to clown college?
You're like my dad. I didn't have to dress up as a clown. My dad keeps asking me, like, he kept asking me when I was gonna like dress up as a clown and like when I was doing juggling or whatever, and I was just like,
when are you doing juggling?
It's not that kind of clowning. I can already juggle. I can juggle 3 balls.
That's, I know that you got into clown college. Like, you must, of course you can juggle.
Anyone can get into, it's not clown college.
What's it called then?
A workshop.
For what?
Clowning.
It's a space for clowns. This clown support group.
Safe clown space.
I've got spinning plates, mate, in my house.
Have you really?
You've got a plate on a stick? Yeah.
Yeah, but you're like, you're Brighton dad, aren't you? So like you probably take your kids out to like tightrope walk on the level.
Yeah, slackline. We call, no one calls it tightrope walk anymore. Are you from the fucking 1980s?
Are you joking? People call it something else now.
Yeah, it's a slackline.
It's a tightrope.
No, slacklines and tightropes are different. Tightropes.
Tell me.
I'm gonna, right, this is gonna absolutely blow your mind what I'm about to say. Are you sitting down? Are you ready?
Of course I'm sitting down. I don't podcast standing up. I'm not a psychopath.
I've been pacing the whole time. The tightropes. Tightropes are tight. And slack lines be slack.
Well, how can they be slack? They don't look slack.
No, they do. Have you not seen people in the park where they attach a big rope to between two trees?
No, I'm sorry, because all even a tightrope needs to have a bit of slack to it. That's how it works.
No, but these are quite slack. But slack line is a real thing. My kids can do that Diablo. You ever seen that Diablo?
It's Diablo, but yes, I have seen that.
I didn't realise you were their spokesperson.
Diablo.
Yeah, well, what's wrong with that? It's got an I in it. It's how it's spelled. I'm a very phonetic person. I say what I see. I'm like catchphrase. I'm like 90s catchphrase.
In that you're Irish.
Yeah. I was about to do the worst Irish accent you've ever heard then, and I stopped myself.
Do it.
No, I don't want to. Say what you see.
I mean, it was all right.
It was terrible, mate. I can't do accents. I always keep trying and I can't do accents.
Can your kids do that that fire thing.
Fire breathing. No, we haven't actually covered that.
No, not that. What's it called? Poi.
Oh, poi. Yeah, they do poi. Sydney's more into the poi. She's got like ones that glow in the dark, ones that you can set on fire. My mate Az used to do fire poi. He used to do it in the garden after drinking and stuff. It was very exciting.
Oh, really? You've got a mate who used to do it? I've got a question then. Why?
Because it was really cool. You're the one who went to clown college, mate, and you can call it a workspace for clowns as much as you want, a workshop for clowns as much as you want, but we all know what it is.
What?
It's a clown college.
I didn't get a diploma.
Yeah, but I mean, did you get like transport there? Or do you make your own way there? Did your clowns carpool?
No, I was staying in dorms.
Clown dorms?
Yeah, I was in a clown sorority.
We have to talk about Fleabag in the diary room.
Yeah, I mean, every time she's in the diary room, my heart sort of sings because, again, she's talking to the camera and it's sort of like, it's Fleabag.
And she's talking so much about, like, Christianity and stuff, and I'm like, oh, it's all coming together, it's all starting to make sense.
And she was drunk,
man. She was Fleabag season two today, wasn't she?
She was Phoebe Waller-Bridge, which I always say when I pinch my nose. Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
she felt bad because she voted for Andy to leave, and then he did get nominations, and then she had to be like give him a hug and stuff, where she felt a bit like, she said she felt like Judas from the Bible.
Yeah, she had to clarify that it was from the Bible.
Yeah, but then she obviously was like, oh, maybe the people at home have never heard of Jesus or Judas or the Bible or God.
Or they might be getting it mixed up with that other Judas.
Yeah, Judas Priest.
Judas.
I just felt like the entirety of Judas Priest. I felt like Robert Halford when I gave him a hug then. It was really bizarre. I was just hell bent for leather.
Well, she is gay.
Yeah, she is. And I always think it's funny that it took everyone so long to realise that Robert Halford was gay, because...
Yeah, well, okay, but by that logic, think of any metal band. They're all gay.
They're all pretty gay. And I love the fact that the metal... Well, maybe they're probably different now, but in the 80s, like, it was a problem. Like, the singers didn't want to come out as gay because, obviously, the metal people would be like, oh, no, no, can't have homosexuality in our really masculine music whilst we all wear sort of, like, leather corsets and that.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous.
I saw Judas Priest at a music festival, and Robert Halford, and I guess he's quite old, but he came out on a motorbike, but instead of starting the motorbike up and riding it out, which would have been kind of lame but at least authentic, he got pushed out by like roadies. The motorbike was on a platform with wheels, and the roadies, just like about eight roadies, just pushed it out, and he was pretending to ride on it. It was really bad.
that's theater darling.
It was funny because she was like going like, so Fleabags was just like going, Judas. You know, from the Bible, Jesus is mate, Judas from the Bible. You know what I mean. Betrays the Son of God. You know the one.
30 pieces of silver. You're aware of. Also, Kaggers said, that's what I'm calling it now. Kaggers. She said 30 pieces of silver as well.
Wow, it was such a
biblical episode.
Biblical episode, yeah.
It really was. It was quite biblical.
Andy's going to come out of the bedroom just dressed entirely like a Roman.
Imagine if he just... No, he's going to come out dressed like in a robe. Like, he's like Jesus, and he's like being crucified.
I think being nominated has messed him up mentally. Like, because he... I don't think that he's ever looked at himself in a negative way, really, before.
Yeah, I think the problem is like, we see him... Obviously, like, recently, we've seen him as, like, a bit of a creepazoid. But that's only quite recent, because before then we just saw him as like Invisible Andy. Like, the whole point was that we didn't see him. But the thing is, Caroline said she hates him. So I don't think we've seen everything that he's said or done, and I think...
That was funny, actually, because Kaggy was hammered.
Yeah.
And she went to the diary room and said, I want Andy to leave. She was like really happy that Andy was going to get voted out because she's going to get... Like, she's going to get him to stand in a living room so she can just, like, fucking peggle him with darts.
Yeah.
And basically murder Andy. She basically said, I want Andy to leave the Big Brother house so that I can murder him in my own house.
No, I think she was trying to say something about like having a picture of Andy and throwing darts at it or something. I don't think she was insinuating that she was going to murder him. But that being said, I do want to talk about their play and the ideas that they were pitching for the play. I thought it was very, I mean, I don't think you have to be a psychologist. I don't think you have to be Carl Jung to really see into Caroline's mindset. But her first idea for the play was, how about we do a play where I stab everyone to death in the house? That was legit her idea.
What was that? You spoke about this before. What was that program, which is like a horror series, but based in the Big Brother house?
It was Dead Set.
That's the play that they're writing. Is that what happened? Are they going to come out of Dead Set?
No, I did think that it was kind of similar. Like, I can imagine it would be interesting if Charlie Brooker had seen this episode of Big Brother, but I don't know how likely it is, but maybe when they were researching for the idea. But I mean, it's not the same idea. Like, the idea of Dead Set is basically what would happen if a zombie apocalypse happened during a filming of Big Brother.
Doesn't Davina get ripped apart in that?
Yeah, I think she does. It's actually really good. I mean, you can tell it was a precursor for like Black Mirror. Like, you can tell like it's similar. Yeah, it's a really great idea. Kevin Eldon's in it as well. It's really good, you know. But it's
Kevin Eldon's a fucking legend, isn't he?
Yeah, I love Kevin Eldon. But yeah, it is similar, I guess. That would also, as well, like, as good of an idea as Dead Set is, it would also be a good idea. And the idea of some, like, a serial, like, someone killing everybody in the Big Brother house would be a good idea too. So it's a shame, because Kagi was sort of onto something there.
And she just basically said all the people that she hated. She was like, I'm going to, wouldn't this be a good play? You know, act one, we'll kill Andy. Act yeah. two, we'll kill Craig.
But she had it all planned out. She had like the elaborate ways that she would kill them based on their personalities. You know, she was like, "Oh, we'll kill Mel with statistics, and we'll kill." that's what she said. And she said, "I'll kill." I don't remember how she was going to kill the others though.
Imagine someone thinking you were so boring that they were like, "The only thing they can think about to describe you is statistics."
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
You'd be like, that's her main thing, statistics. Imagine if she was beaten to death by statistics. I'm not even sure what she means by that.
I don't know. I think
she's gonna like barrage her with facts and numbers until she can't take it anymore and fucking dies.
I think it's sad that like people like Caroline like are against Mel, because I don't know. Like, I just think Mel gets a bad rap. I still think it. I think Mel's pretty.
Why good. Do you think it is though that they don't like her?
I think it's because she's a modern woman who is perfectly fine with being friends with men, and I think they're intimidated by that.
Or they think Andy is an absolute fucking like sex god, and they're just sort of jealous.
Possibly, but Sada definitely had that. Sada definitely had that attitude, didn't she? Like, she did not like the fact that and Caroline as well. Yeah, they did not like Mel, and it was because like they wanted to build like a girl group. And Mel was like more sort of like hanging out with the boys or whatever.
I like Mel. I like the fact that she's stringing Andy along. I think she should do it more. I think she's just blue ball Andy all the way up until has to leave. And then she should like sleep with Darren or something like the next night, because it's on TV, so Andy's going to be watching.
No, do you know what she should do? Like, when he gets evicted, you know, like when he gets evicted and he has to have his ritual bucket bath, right? And then she should like give him the bucket bath, and then really build the tension and be like, now's the time, Andy, we're gonna do it now. And then as soon as she starts to like undo his trousers, it's like, can Andy please leave the Big Brother house? And he has to go.
You got 1 minute. Yeah. And he's like actually, I think I could probably do this in a minute. I think that the play should centre around the bucket bath, though. If you were like in this situation in a Big Brother house, like what? I'm happy to go with Caroline's idea of murdering up some people in the house, but I think it should be like a whodunit, like someone should be dead in the bucket bath.
Yeah, I like the bucket bath. The bucket bath is a good central set piece, I think.
And it would be a good visual image of just someone in there with like their arms all draped over the sides and like just dead.
Do you know what was sad about this episode is that Caroline said that she hadn't even unpacked her bags.
What, since arriving in the, like, not even just since the last nomination, but just since arriving in the Big Brother house?
Yeah, she's been wearing the same pair of knickers this whole time.
I think that she's like, she's kind of like, doesn't give a fuck now. And I sort of, I'm sort of warming to Kags a little bit more because people keep voting for her. And she's just like, nah, by this point, she's just like, fuck it. I'm just going to get fucking smashed on like a snake bite and just fucking.
Yeah.
Just have a laugh and just say I want to fucking murder everyone. And she mentioned like in the diary room, she's.
I was going to say, I know we're not in the house, so we can't ever really have a true representation. But I don't get it because my perception of Kagi is that she's wicked. I'd love to hang out with her.
Yeah. I mean, maybe she's like a bit annoying to have her to be like constantly. Like, it's all right for us because we only watch like half an hour a week of Kags.
Yeah, but she does seem fun. She seems more fun than most of them. You'd have a good chat with her.
Plus, they got to get rid of Andy, really, haven't they? Because you don't want it to be too fucking cock heavy in there, do you?
You need to get rid of Andy because he's like one step away from like being a sex pest. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's too much. Like, he needs to go.
I kind of think he's already crossed that line. And but it is like consented though. So like Mel is sort of down with it. She doesn't necessarily want to see his penis, but she does want it rubbing up against her shorts.
Look, I just think he needs to go. Let's just get Andy. Let's petition. My vote is Andy. I vote for Andy. Who are you voting for?
Hansy Andy. Yeah, I think it's got to be Andy. I want him to go because I think that because they have a, how long do they have? They have like an evening, don't they? Or do they find out a couple of days before? I can't remember.
I don't know. Let's just hope he goes.
Yeah. But then that whole evening would be kind of exciting because then he'll have to like cross. He'd have to like wrap it up with Mel and stuff like that, and then he'll really want to know who voted for him and why. So I think he's gonna have a mental breakdown.
You're looking forward to the breakdown.
I'm looking forward to the breakdown. Yeah,
it's lovely. It's very nice of you.
Well, we know that they're all fine.
Do we though? Do we know that?
You'd remember if something awful happened, wouldn't you? Plus, I follow them all on Twitter now, so I know.
Do you follow Andy?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It says on his account, he's like, handles like, at Hansy Andy. The only other thing I've got written down is just Darren outside singing The Power of Love by, is it Frankie Goes to Hollywood? And I just...
I think Darren's trying to get himself, like, you know, a music career for when he gets out. It's happened before, you know. You know Nadia? Nadia had a brief, like, they had a single out. I mean, it was atrocious. But...
Well, I mean, I would listen to a full band rendition of The Power of Love starring Darren from Big Brother 1, wouldn't you?
I think, yeah, I liked it. You know, I think he's learnt guitar while being in the house. I think he's doing pretty good.
Yeah, I think he has too, and he's doing all right. And Nicola's teaching him, and she... it was what they just reminded me of. It's like, do you know, like, in them hedonistic films, like, Human Traffic and stuff, they always have that, like, bit in, like, the chill-out area where everyone's just, like, still a bit off their tits but just want to sit around on, like, beanbags and that.
Yeah, sensory lighting.
Yeah, that whole Darren and Nicola thing reminded me of one of those situations where they were just sort of, like, because I think it was that song helped as well, but they were just sort of lounging around, like... coming down and that.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it.
And then people are always in that situation, somebody's always massaging someone, and she was just massaging Fleabag.
But their massage felt more like, you know, just a friend massage.
Yeah. But what I mean is someone's always getting massage, post-rave massage. It always happens.
There's a lot of massaging that goes on in the Big Brother house generally, I think. Relax, don't do it. Where do you wanna go to?
I wanna see what songs Darren learns next.
When you wanna come. That's the lyric, isn't it? Doesn't that what it says, when you wanna come? When you wanna come. It's great. I love that song.
Cool.
What?
No, it's fine. It's a good song. I like it.
Don't do it. When
I mean, it's not the song you were singing, though.
Relax. Don't do it. When you wanna come.
So it's relax, don't do it.
That's what I said.
No, but is that it? What does he mean?
Don't come.
Relax. Relax. Don't do it. Oh, it's just about not.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Is that, do you reckon Sting listens to that song a lot?
Yeah, that's his anthem.
he's got one of them slowed down versions, so it literally lasts like a week, that song. Just really slow. So, got any big plans for the rest of the day? No, that's how I'm ending the podcast. Like, we're like, it's just a chat.
That's okay. That's nice. Nice way to end. The cold end. I'm going to have dinner in a minute.
Yeah. What are you going to have? I'm thinking about food myself, actually.
I haven't decided. I haven't got a lot to have. I've got pasta. I'll definitely have some pasta. I've got some garlic bread. Definitely nice. Pull the garlic bread out. What I might do is I might, you know, the other day I said I was going to have that like bolognese sauce. Well, I didn't. I just had just pasta on its own. But so today I might have the bolognese sauce.
What do you mean you had just pasta on its own?
Well, I cooked some spaghetti and then I put some cheese on it and that was it.
Not on its own.
Well, no.
No one's eating bland pasta, are they?
I have done in the past.
Yeah, I've done it in the past.
Yeah.
Dark times, dark days.
I like cold pasta when it's like that.
I like creepy pasta.
I don't really know where that term comes from.
Yeah, because it's just like carbs for the brain, isn't it? It's like, is that what it is? It's like,
No, I don't think it's anything. I don't understand internet culture, really. You know, I understand it up to a point, like up to like...
But God, we will so much want to be part of it.
That's the modern condition, isn't it? We really want to be let in this club, but we can't get in.
That's why sometimes I'm like, I'm kind of glad that I was in the generation that didn't have the internet and then did have it. And we were that transition... With that transition generation.
You're not native.
Part of me is like, it would be much better to have been brought up, surrounded by it anyway, because then we'd just be so much better at it.
We'd be so much better at it, but we'd also be insufferable.
Yeah.
Like, we wouldn't be funny. Because none of them are funny, these kids. They're all dumb. No, I'm just joking. That's not true. You know, actually, a lot of these Gen Zs, they are funny. But I just can't understand a lot of it. And I fear what I don't understand, Rix.
I don't know what to have. I might go to the news agents in my house. Sometimes they have homemade samosas in there and I fucking absolutely go mad for them.
Really?
I would kill a man for a samosa.
Jason Samosa.
the summer of samosa, that's what they'll call it.
That'd be great advertising for them, like, it's the summer of samosas.
That's so good. And you could spring them on people down alley, like, so like, you get them country lanes, lovers lanes and that. You could just have like you could just get free samples and you could just jump out at people when they're in cars and be like, it's the summer of samosa, and give them a samosa. But man, so I'm gonna do a classic summary. I know you have a problem with this, but I'm gonna do it anyway.
All right, do a summary.
So you know, Andy's gonna leave. He found out today, and he was so sad that he went to stand in his bedroom in the dark to think about it. And then everyone else is writing a play where they're murdering Andy. It's been a bad day for Andy.
It's been a pretty bad day for Andy.
Yeah, which is, to be honest, I don't mind. So. Whatever. See you later, Andy.
Yeah, and see you later, listeners.
Yeah, see you later, Andy. See you later, listeners.
Thanks.
See you later, Jeff.
See you later, Riggs, you dickhead.
Bye!